When I pray for direction after a decision has been made, I often second-guess myself as to whether it was God's voice I heard or my own desire. How can I know for sure? First of all, I would be very cautious about this. The number of people on earth that have ever heard God's voice are far fewer than the people that claim to. And I don't want to be unkind about this, but we should be very cautious in any context of saying, I heard God's voice, unless you're referring to reading the Bible. But beyond that, to actually hear God's voice means you're hearing something that is absolutely, incontrovertibly, 100% accurate, true, valid, and if it's about the future, it must exactly happen. Because God is not a God that he's not a man that he should lie. So I think that many people in Christendom today need to be very cautious about saying, God told me, God said, etc. Because that would be the very first thing I'd say in the hallway. Because there are two views of Scripture. There's the high view and the low view. The low view believes in continuing revelation, and so that any dream, impression, voice that I might hear is from God. And it's all continuing to be God's revelation, which I wouldn't believe at all. So how can I know for sure? And so what I would say is that the way that the Bible says that you would know for sure is you compare it against God's word, because God would never contradict himself. And so the problem with question number one would be, I would have to, as I'm walking in the hallway, say, what did you mean by I heard God's voice? An audible voice? And how did you know it was God's voice? And if it was always agree with the word, why would you be more interested in the voice than in the Bible? And then I would ask them how much time they spent actually studying everything God says about that issue. But in the long answer, I'll show you how I got to it. When I pray for direction after a decision has been made, I often second guess as to whether it's God's voice I heard or my own desire. How can I know for sure? That's where I had you go to Galatians 5. And one of the struggles we have in life is Galatians 5 and prayer is always tied. Do you remember who helps us with our prayers? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Remember Romans 8 says that it's the Holy Spirit that helps us because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. So when I pray for direction, Galatians 5, 16 onward says God's will is tied to his Spirit guiding us. You want to be 100% doing God's will, then 100% follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And it's all tied, the work of the Holy Spirit is all tied to the sanctification. The last part of Christ's teaching, as we were looking at this morning, to Paul. So Galatians 5, if you look at 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not on the treadmill of performance. And then he talks about the works of the flesh. And then he talks in verse 22 about the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, the fruit of the Spirit is an indicator of what parts of my life are under God's control. When it's under his control, that fruit grows. Kind of like part of our garden is so sandy that unless you run water on it night and day, and you can just see in the row, it's vibrant, and then it's just parched and dead, and then it's vibrant again. That part is not under the control of water. A lot of believers don't realize that a parched, withered part of my life, in other words, when I'm anxious, when I'm lustful, when I'm angry, when I'm whatever, impatient, that part is not being nourished or cared for by the Holy Spirit. But he goes on. If we live, verse 25, in the Spirit, in other words, since we're saved and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, he's the agent of God in our regeneration and all the working spiritually. It's the Holy Spirit that's energizing us. Why not walk in the Spirit? See, the living in the Spirit, it's all God's work. The walking in the Spirit is a choice. It's just like any part of my life that's out of control is not under his control. I have not surrendered that part. Robert Boyd Munger's book, My Heart, Christ's Home, says that we're like a house, and there are different rooms in our house that are off limits to God. And those parts that are off limits to him that we say, oh, you know, I spend so much time for the Lord, I'm not going to give up, you know. I need my time vegging out in front of the TV, or I need my hours, you know, playing that game. I'm not going to surrender that part. That part of our life is out of control. And the Holy Spirit is not bearing fruit in that part of our life. And an immature believer has many rooms in their house that are under his control. But if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And then look, that answers another question. We won't become conceited. We won't provoke one another. We won't envy one another. We won't be comparing ourselves to one another in the prayer meetings. But it all comes down to know whether I am obeying the Lord or following my own desires is based on God's Spirit sanctifying me. Now you get to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that you all know by heart. And the elements there, when it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, what that means is recognize his presence. And so I have to recognize God's presence, comes back to the focusing on God and surrendering to him. And then anything that I'm seeking to know, whether it's God's will, 1 Thessalonians 5, especially 19, says I'm supposed to test it against the word of God. In fact, for a minute, look at Jeremiah. I think it's, I want to show you something, because even among the prophets, there was a constant, I think it's Jeremiah 23, where it says they speak and it's not from the Lord. Ah, it's 16. Jeremiah 23:16. Do not listen to the words of the prophets, says the Lord of hosts. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. You understand, we're seeing that nowadays. We're seeing that, I mean, in Christendom today. There are people that are speaking from their own heart, and it's not from the Lord. How do you know when you're 1 Thessalonians 5:19, testing all things, what do you test it against? The changeless word of God. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. This is the very revelation of the will of God written down and accessible and readable. So we're supposed to test. Now, back to this question, whether it's God's voice I heard. 99% of God's will is covered by his word. That's objective. There's only a little that's tied to subjective impressions. And when your life is, it's like this. When you have the guardrails of the word, and you know the word so well, those guardrails are there, you can live going always in the right direction and sometimes bumping against the guardrails. And you know, feeling and impressing like this and going like this. But this is set. The Lord has revealed his will. I mean, in Proverbs, he's revealed his will in so many directions of practical living. In Ecclesiastes, of our whole philosophy we live on, many, many believers are operating with no guardrails. And they're just going on subjective impressions. And that's why there's so much emotionalism and so much sadness going on in the name of Christ, because Jesus said, you can't live except by every word from the mouth of God. You just can't live without it. I don't want to say it. I clipped out. You want to read something interesting? Listen to John Piper. He just had someone on July 16th, so 11 days ago, someone asked him, does God verbally speak to me? You know, John Piper just retired from Bethlehem Baptist and going full-time with Desiring God. And what he says is, it's a long article. I'll just read underlined parts. The word in the Bible is more sure than anything you can hear outside the Bible, including from God. Understand that. Because anything you'd hear outside the Bible that's from God isn't from God, because it would match the Bible. So that's the first thing he says. You can call yourself spiritual and be tuned in to God, but if anything you say doesn't accord with what God says, you are not recognized, which means you're outside the Bible, And all you have outside the Bible are fallible, uncertain impressions and messages. That's why this is such a dangerous realm to operate in. As Piper calls it, it's fallible, it's uncertain, and there are messages you're not sure who they're from. Piper goes on to say, "It seems to me to be folly to crave the lesser authority and the lesser riches outside the Bible." What he's saying is, what Piper said is that, come on. Boy, it doesn't like me. Well, I'll just, there we go. No, I didn't want that. I wanted an extra page. Come on. Well, I'll just draw right here. Here is God's word. And sometimes, through subjective leading, God can show us something that is tied to his word. Boy, it doesn't draw very well there. It's tied to the word. This is the word of God, is what Piper calls the riches. And this little outside impression and emotional and subjective leading are the lesser riches. Why do we crave the lesser, the voice, the speaking, the impression, I feel that, as a greater authority than the greater riches of the living and abiding word of God? Then he goes, I don't see anything in the Bible that would say God can't communicate with us in extraordinary ways outside the Bible. I don't either. It never says in the Bible that God can't do anything. I mean, he can. He'll always agree with his word, but he can do anything he wills. But God can, Piper says. And if he does, we should test it by his infinitely authoritative risen word. And we should commend it to those whose lives show a deep, long wisdom in Christ. Beware. Jesus warned against those who seek a sign, something more than what he's given us. In fact, that's Matthew 12, 38 and 39, when he says, don't always look for a sign. Jesus was right there, and they wanted something else. Piper goes on, it means the voice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wasn't adequate if you want something more, a voice or a sign. They needed something more. They needed to feel more. They needed to touch more. They needed to see more. They wanted more. And Jesus wouldn't give in to them, even when he was on earth. And I think we're in that situation today. And he goes on to conclude, we hear more of the Son of God than anybody in Jesus' day ever heard. Now, do you understand what he means? Nobody in the first century church, nobody in the first century of this, the last two millennia, from 0 to 100 AD, nobody knew as much about Christ as we do. Nobody. Because nobody had all the revelation written down. John had not finished. The Gospels were not written. Most of those people in the early church didn't know as much as we know about Jesus. Piper continues, because we have all four Gospels, and those people only got it in snatches, we have the wholeness of the revelation Jesus meant to communicate, and it is speaking to us every time we read the Bible. And if we turn away from all that and say, I need a sign, I need a voice, I need a tree to fall down in the woods when I'm talking, so I know God is telling me something, I need something, we're putting ourselves in the position of those in Matthew 12 that desired a sign. So, what I would say is, if I'm praying for direction and I'm second-guessing myself, that I need to say, Lord, I need to be sanctified so that I can be testing all my impressions against your word, but Galatians 5, walking in your spirit, that's where we get the assurance, not if it comes true, but if it is tied to the word.